welcome to the MUFG Global Markets FX Week Ahead podcast with Derek Halpeny, Head of Research, Global Markets EMEA and International Securities. It's Monday, the 5th of October 2020, and in our preview week, we're discussing the key themes for the FX financial markets. Good morning, Derek.
Good morning, Anna.
What are the key themes at the start of this week for the FX financial markets?
Well, those that listened to the podcast a week ago, we started off with US politics, with the TV debate that was on Tuesday of last week. Of course, we couldn't have predicted what ended up happening at the end of last week, and that definitely means that this topic, US politics, is definitely still front and focus for the markets at the beginning of this week. I think that the markets right now are moving favorably. Risk sentiment is coming back a little bit, and the the news from the weekend is that President Trump could be released from hospital today, and therefore all the kind of worst case scenarios of what could have materialized over the next 4 to 5 weeks into the election kind of faded away. So that's helping the markets right now at the moment. You know, there is now, I think, the speculation about how is this going to impact his polling. And, you know, I don't really want to get into the details of that. Everybody can have their own opinion about whether it's good or bad for broadening his support into the election. But what we do know is that the polling going into the confirmation of President Trump getting COVID, not good. And clearly the polling through on Real Clear Politics to yesterday, which would have captured, some of these polls would have captured the fallout from the TV debate, and in particular the response to information about his tax returns and not paying tax, which was reported in the New York Times. Biden's lead over Trump has expanded from about 6.1 percentage points a week ago to about 8.1 percentage points. That's the average of national polls, according to Real Clear Politics. So certainly going into the COVID infection story at the weekend, the polls were not moving in Trump's favor. Having said that, you know, again, that's the national average. If you hone in and you look at the battleground states or the swing states, there is another polling analysis done by Real Clear Politics, which kind of focuses in on six of the big battleground states that make up 106 electoral college votes. And the combined polling in those six states compares Trump's performance versus Biden compared to Trump's performance versus Clinton 4 years ago. Now, while Biden is ahead, just like Clinton was 4 years ago, Biden's lead is actually less than Clinton's lead 4 years ago. So when you hone in on some of the key swing states, it's a lot less clear in terms of Biden's lead and his support. And therefore, you know, certainly from Trump's perspective, I'm sure he thinks it's all still to play for. And there's definitely potential for more kind of roller coaster shifts in expectations as we move towards the key date itself. So the point in all this, I think, is that, you know, political uncertainty is not going to go away despite the kind of positive start we've had to the markets today. And, you know, then on top of that, I think we're going to have to deal with the evidence that the US economy is slowing. And at the same time, the COVID situation is still not particularly favorable and indeed could be getting worse. And when you consider that the mayor in New York City has announced restrictions in 9 different neighborhoods, you know, the direction there is obviously not good. Schools are going to have to shut down. Business, non-essential businesses are going to have to shut down. And that all kind of impacts the economy going forward. Now, that might be positive, and markets don't necessarily get that rattled from increased restrictions if that's what's deemed necessary. But it still has an impact on GDP, of course, going forward. And when you consider, you know, our own estimate for Q4 GDP is only about between 1% and 1.5% quarter on quarter. So we've had the slowdown in the jobs report confirmed on Friday. We're having potentially increased restrictions. And before you know it, we could be in a situation where the markets are considering a contraction in growth in the fourth quarter, especially if we don't get the fiscal stimulus package agreed between the Democrats and the Republicans. And while, again, the markets today are hopeful on that, we're still somewhat skeptical. And it's really down to the Republicans in the Senate. And it's still looking like there's a fairly large portion of the Republicans who just are not interested in a fiscal stimulus package in the region of $1.5 to $2 trillion. So our leaning is still that that package doesn't get done. And therefore, the kind of growth outlook is going to remain pretty fragile. So this kind of a recovery in sentiment on the Trump story is, you know, pretty minor in the bigger picture and the bigger scheme of things. We're still pretty concerned about the outlook for growth and the uncertainty levels remaining very high. And generally, that should be supportive for risk remaining fragile, perhaps equity markets correcting lower again, and therefore the dollar remaining broadly supportive, certainly against the high beta G10 currencies and in the emerging market space.
And is there anything else we should look out for as the week unfolds, Derek?
Well, moving it to the UK, we have the GDP data for the month of August, and the consensus at the moment is for GDP to increase by 4.6% month on month. And that's going to result in obviously in more of that collapse in GDP being recuperated. A lot of that is, well, certainly a good chunk of that is going to be helped by the Eat Out to Help Out scheme that boosted restaurant activity in the month of August, which of course now Prime Minister Johnson admits could be part of the problem as to why COVID has accelerated again. But nonetheless, it will help the GDP August print. But just like I said in relation to the US, obviously now with COVID really taking off here in the UK in terms of new cases, the risks are that the restrictions are going to get worse over the next 3 to 4 weeks. The Telegraph newspaper today, for example, reporting a plan that is about to be implemented, which a three-tiered stage of restrictions being implemented in different regions across the country. And therefore, the direction of travel is more towards the momentum of the economy slowing further. And, you know, while GDP is recuperating through August, from September onwards, it's a different story. And therefore, the optimism from Bank of England's chief economist, Andy Haldane, you know, we struggle to understand how he can be so optimistic. He's arguing, for example, that the Bank of England now believes that the UK is just 3 to 4 percentage points below its pre-COVID peak. Yes, for sure, that's a pretty hefty rebound from the trough post-COVID. But just to put that in context, the worst point for the economy in the UK after the global financial crisis was down 6%. And it took through until the first quarter of 2013 from the collapse in 2008 to get back to the pre-GFC levels. And being 3 or 4% below, that's the easy part we've done. And getting back to par could still take quite a considerable period of time. So that, along with the Brexit negotiations, which continue, the pound is going to remain with risks to the downside, although we do expect a Brexit deal to be reached in or around the middle of this month. So beyond that, we would expect the pound to obviously outperform for a period, but it will be constrained even after a deal is reached, given the outlook for the economy remains pretty fragile, we think.
And finally, Derek, what trade ideas are your research desk highlighting?
Well, I mentioned overall there, you know, the fact that we still think risk sentiment is going to remain fragile equity market risks are to the downside, and therefore US dollar performance is to the upside. And last week we established a short New Zealand dollar, US dollar trade. We still have that in play. And we've added to that another long dollar position, but this time against the Czech koruna. And last week we had the central bank meeting, and the communications from the minutes of that meeting, sorry, it was the minutes that were released last week, indicated that, you know, some of the members are beginning to think that there needs to be further monetary stimulus. The COVID situation in the Czech Republic is escalating. We're seeing a significant spike in new cases, and therefore there is this increased concern over over the need for further monetary stimulus in the Czech Republic. So, you know, that's going to increase prospects of negative rates coming back, and there's going to be a focus on keeping the Czech, given the global backdrop and the specific developments in the Czech Republic itself. We think there's potential for US dollar Czech koruna to move higher. So that's the trade idea that we implemented on Friday. Long dollar Czech.
Thanks for your insight, Derek. Have a good week and speak to you next week.
And you, Una. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this MUFG Global Markets podcast. Rate, review and subscribe, and reach out to your MUFG sales rep for further information. Check back next week for more insights from the Global Markets Research Team.